Your Bible to Psalm number 90. Psalm number 90, we get a sense of the urgency of the new year as we read Psalm number 90. Psalm number 90, of course, is written by Moses, and you can almost see by the words of this psalm that they were probably written somewhere near the end of the wilderness wanderings, where Israel, at Kadesh Barnea in Numbers 13 and 14, had said no to God. And they said no to faith. They said no to obeying God, to go into the land, to trust Him for great things. And now they've been wandering for many years, and that whole generation has almost died off. And as we look at this, we can kind of see that perspective as we look at this psalm. Verse 7, it says, "We are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath are we troubled." Verse 9, "For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told." A story. You know, you can tell a story, and you can tell a lot in it, cover a lot of years in a story, can't you? And he said that these years have passed by very quickly. And so as we look at Psalm 90, as we think of the a little bit of the context, Moses is being used of the Lord to give us, first of all, the right perspective of life as we think of the new year. And we see that perspective of life in verses, especially verses 1 and 2. "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations." Generation after generation after generation. Who's there? God. God. What about that generation? It's gone. What about previous generations? They're gone. Gone. You know, you go to a funeral and you have the picture board and you see this person as a young person. You see them sometimes as a child. You know what I'm saying? And you see them, you know, you see their wedding photo, and then you see photos throughout life, and then you see them in the grandchildren, but what really always strikes me is this person. I'm just saying, here's an older person, and you look at them when they were a child, and it somehow just is constantly strikes me. You know what? They were young. They were a child one time. It's gone. The cycle of life is so quick. And here we find a bigger perspective. Moses talking about Israel. Generation, 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 generation. And you can go through the generations, and you can talk about Abraham, and you can talk about Isaac, and you can talk about Jacob, and And you can talk about all the descendants of Jacob, and you can talk about Levi, and you can talk about the descendants of Levi, and finally you're going to get to Moses. All these generations. And it says, from generation to generation, thou hast been our dwelling place. Boy, these grandparents, they were great, 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 great grandparents. They're gone. I don't even know about them. Never saw them. But God, He continues. The right perspective of life is that God, His eternal existence before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. Now, we can't think in time. We can only think in time, but God isn't limited by time. Somewhere in everlasting past, you know, God always was. And somewhere in this mighty sphere of time that we don't know anything about, God created the heavens and the earth. And even creation itself. Could it be that creation in this world is just a speck in time? When it's all over? It's all over. And so we need to have the right perspective. Notice it says, verse 3, thou turnest man to destruction, saith, return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday. Now notice, it's telling us what time is like in God's sight. Okay, how many remember yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. It came and it went, right? It went just like that. Yesterday. And what does he say? 1,000 years for God is like yesterday. It came and it went. It is nothing. It says 1,000 years are like a watch in the night. Well, if you were a night watchman last night, you know, well, your time on duty was like to God just like 1,000 years. It came and it went. Wow. That's how quick time passes. How God is eternal. And we need to look at life from God's perspective. From history's perspective. From reality's perspective. You know, in Ecclesiastes, it says that it talks about the deception of youth. Do you know that? That youth has a deception about it. It has the deception that you're not going to get old, that you got plenty of time, that you can abuse life and your body and it won't catch up to you. All those lies of youth. And, you know, youth is, one of the lies of youth is, you know, to some degree is, I don't need God. I don't need God. You know, look at, I'm doing fine. And my body is powerful, and I don't need God. Very short-sighted view of life, isn't it? And Psalmist is trying to get us to have a right perspective of life. And that right perspective of life is setting before us the whole sense of the urgency of life and the urgency of the new year that we're facing. 1,000 years for God is like, a watch of the night. For us, 1,000 years is a long time. He says, better start thinking from a spiritual perspective. And this is important as we think of life. Now notice this perspective of life. He says, verse 9, for our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. So here Israel is wandering in a wilderness for 38 years. And all those men from 20 years and older that said no to God, they're all dying. They're all dying. All 200 and how many thousand of them, they're all dying. And every day there's a funeral, and includes young people, because after 38 years, a 20-year-old will only be 58 years old, right? So there's lots of funerals. And the fact is that these people are going to spend their whole life under the judgment of God. These people are spending their whole life under God's anger. And it's going to go by so quickly, and it's going to be over, and that's the end of their life. Wow. I mean, we don't usually think like we ought to about how quickly life is over. You know, and there's this other deception. You know, here's the deception that they were living outside of the blessing of God. And they're going to end their life, and it's what's going to be worth? Nothing. Nothing. Wow. And it's kind of like a wake-up call. Life's going to be over so quickly. And if you aren't walking with God, it's going to be over quickly. And it's going to be absolutely a worthless pile of years. Wow. So he says you need to get the right perspective on life. And you know, thank God that God has done something to help us get the right perspective of life. He has done something. He has made the solar year. So that we could get a hold of the fact that our life is passing by. You know, think about it. There's some people in this world where records aren't kept. They don't even know when they were born. Isn't that right? They don't even know how old they are. Weren't any records when they were born? They have no sense of how old they are. I mean, you could imagine that life really escapes them, doesn't it? But the Bible says that God has given us this thing that helps us have a right perspective of life, and it's called years. Years. And we're about ready to finish the year 2017, right? And the year 2017 is a measure of time, but it's really also a measure of our life. Okay? Now, what does he say? Verse 10, it says that days of our years are are 70 years. That's 70 years of age. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years. Yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it is soon cut off. And we fly away. Now, what is he saying? Well, you know what? He's saying there's some common sense here. Common sense is that God's saying that if you want to understand life, just look at it from a numerical standpoint. You got about 70 years. And you might have 80. But I'm learning something. You know, I'm learning something. You don't get this until you start getting older. You know, if you live to be 80, it's not typical that you're living 80 full years of life. If you live to be 80 and that's going to be your end game, your 80th year has a lot less activity and vitality and strength and productivity than previous years. I'm glad that my mom is going to turn 92 this year. I mean, I never thought that my mom would, I hoped she would live long, but I never thought she would live to be 92. But you know, the sad thing is, the last 10 years, you know, my dad died in 2005, and right after that, my mom came up with this atrial fib. And she just couldn't do anything. She'd start doing something, her heart would start racing. She'd have to stop. And so the last, 11 years of her life have been very difficult, very limited activity, has done very little. And, you know, so 92, but 92 wasn't really 92, you know what I'm saying? And so we need to take, account of life. Need to take count of life. And that's what he's saying. Boy, eternity is forever. God is forever. God's always there. Life is short. Generations pass. Generations pass. Generations pass. And on an individual basis, we might have 70 years. Now, if you're 20, okay, just making it easy mathematics, okay, if you're 20, that means that almost one third of your life is gone. Now, you don't think that way, right? When you're 20, do you think that way? No way. But that's what numbers are all about. If you're 20, one third of your life might be over. Might be one fourth of your life, but still one fourth, right? Your life is over. It's gone. Never to be reclaimed. You know what is midlife crisis? I went through midlife crisis. I didn't know what midlife crisis was. But I went through midlife crisis. You know what midlife crisis is? You turn 40, and all of a sudden it dawns on you. I have less time to live than I've already lived. And that first 40 years went by so fast. It scares you. It scares you. Oh, man! That's what midlife crisis is. Now, maybe you're not too far from that. And you're going to be faced with the reality. You have less time to live than you already lived. And that first, whatever you lived, went by so fast. And from everything that I've been told, the first half goes a lot slower than the second half. Now, it doesn't, but it does. I remember when I was in grade school, oh, man, the weeks went by so slow. Oh, man, I couldn't wait to get older. The week went by so slow. Now, you know, now it's like you wish you could grab them and hold on to them. You know? It's like, man, I wish I could just hold on to time. I need more time every day. And he's saying this is the right perspective of life. We need to, God's given us this opportunity to come to the right perspective of life. And when we come to the right perspective of life, then we're beginning to get the urgency that we need in life. And we think of a new year, we think of the urgency that God is pressing on us, because a year has passed, and that we can count how many have already passed and how quickly they've passed. And we can take account of this last year, and we can say, how fast did this last year go by? And we could ask a lot of different things. We could say, you know, this last year went by real fast. And, you know, I made some important decisions for God, and I was going forward, but I really didn't accomplish nearly as much as I would think you'd accomplish in 1 year. Maybe you started the year spiritually malfunctioning. And you never really snapped out of it. And you're still malfunctioning. How fast did it go? Guess what? What's he saying? As fast as that year went, the rest of your life can go just as fast. And you'll end your life malfunctioning, and will happen that quickly. That's what he's saying. Take grip of your life. It says, so teach us to number our days. Teach us to number our days. And maybe today, you're taking a little bit of time, or this sermon is helping you take a little bit of time to number your days. And we don't like to necessarily think that way, but that's reality. Wow. And you know, besides that, it's not part of this sermon, but besides this, you know how old you are? You might think I'm old. But I tell you what, some of you are really old. And I'm not talking about Wally. And I'm not talking about Wally, and I'm not talking about Tari, and I'm talking about that. You know what I'm talking about? The fact is that if you're going to die this year, coming year, and I stay alive, you're a lot older than me. You're a lot older than me. How old you are isn't necessarily recorded by how many years you've lived. It really has to do with how many years you have yet to live. And you may just be thinking, oh, I'm fine. But you know, every day you get behind this steering wheel, and it's nothing to go 70 miles an hour. And it's nothing to look at a cell phone and every second you pass 80 feet without looking at the road. It could be over that quickly, couldn't it? Teach us to number our days. And so he says, we need to have the right perspective of life. That'd give us some urgency. And then he says that we would apply our hearts unto wisdom. There's this action. Now, I tried to force it a little bit today. You know, I tried to force it by giving some illustrations of life. But what does the Bible say? The Bible says, God, teach us to number our days so that we will make this action that's required. What is it? That we will apply our hearts unto wisdom. We'll apply our hearts. We'll take all this into perspective and we will make some application to our hearts. Now, I think there's some realities, but I think that there is some urgent action needed, because he's saying life is going to fly away from you. It's going to run away from us. We only have so many days, every one of us. We only have so many days. And we don't think that way. Some of you, very few of you remember over in the Morris's home there, that's Mrs. Rogers' granddaughter. And Mr. and Mrs. Rogers live there. Mr. Rogers' father, grandfather, farmed that land, and our farm was farmed by the Rogers. There's two brothers that farm these two farms. But when I met Mr. Rogers, he was about 74. Can't remember how old he was. Maybe less than that. But he had emphysema. Today they call it something else. And he had emphysema. And so he couldn't do much, and pretty soon it was getting worse, and he had an oxygen tank that he'd carry around. Couldn't go very many places, but I'm thinking that Highway 15, Rock Freeway, went through here. I don't know, was it 1965? Is that when it went through? And the Rogers lost their farm buildings and their farmhouse, and they had to build that house over there. And and so they had a little shed back there with some of their leftover farm equipment. He had three tractors in there. And I remember visiting Mr. Rogers, and he'd talk about, you know, his tractors out there in the shed, and he'd say, yeah, one of these days I got to get out there and I got to get them going. And, you know, pretty soon the oxygen was really up on the machine and he was really doing bad. You know, I mean, he was still able to talk, and but he was, you know, getting quite incapacitated. He says, yeah, one of these days I'm going to get out there in that shed and I can get that tractor going. You know, that magneto needs a little bit of this. And he's talking about that tractor. And you know, he never got out to that shed. He never got out to that shed. He was dreaming that he was ever going to get out to that shed. He His days were wasting away. Now, one good thing about that disease he had, he knew he was going to die. And praise God, one day his wife said, Lord, it's time for you to get saved. You're going down to the house down there, to church, and you're going to hear the sermon, and you're going to get saved. And he did. He did. But as a human being, he lived like he wasn't going to die in this one area. The Bible says, apply our hearts unto wisdom. Apply our hearts unto wisdom. You know, there's an action that is required. No matter who you are, right here in this place, there is an action that is required. However old you are, there's an action that's required to apply your heart unto wisdom. To come to grips to the fact of that we are to number our days. Now, if you're a young person, the Bible says you need to apply your heart unto wisdom. Well, you know what? Let's see, David, you're 14? Wow. David, do you realize in 10 years you are going to be 24? Can you imagine that? In 10 years, you will be 24. In just 10 years. I mean, all of a sudden, 14 to 24 is like, boom, right? A man. Yes. Apply your heart unto wisdom. There's a lot needs to be done in 10 years to be at 24 what you need to be 24. And you know what? When you're 24, all your teenage years are already over. You'll never be able to live them again. Never be able to live them again. And you have to say, now what do I want my teenage years to be counted for? When the book is written, what do I want on my ledger of my teenage years? You know, everybody gets the opportunity to do that. To decide what on the ledger is going to be said about their teenage years. A Christian especially. Wow. So if you're a youth, you know what? Let's see, Matthew, how old are you?
11.
You're 11? Oh, man. 11 years old. But in 10 years, you will be 21. Can you imagine that? That's less years than you've already lived. You'll be 21. Less years than you've already lived, and you will be 21. Wow. Teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You may be, let's just say, that you're 20. In 10 years, you're going to be 30. You know, I remember as a kid, I thought when you were 30, you were old. Remember that? I remember the neighbor down the road. I can't remember his last name, but they had a couple younger kids, and we spent time with, and he was 30. I thought, man, that guy's old. You know, every person needs to apply their heart unto wisdom. How old are you? Put a little bit of time on that. Put enough time on it that you would be able to be honest with yourself of what you would expect a person to have accomplished or to be, or what they would have, should be in their Christian life after so many years. That's what it means to apply your heart unto wisdom. And all of a sudden we get to see that God has given us this measuring stick called years. And instead of letting a years just run away, it's the our life run away, we have the opportunity to grab a hold of our life and stop time for a minute and get serious about life. That's what he's saying. Apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now there's an urgency in this. When you start thinking about life and years slipping by, now all of a sudden you get a sense of urgency. You know, most of the time we don't have much urgency. You know, you tell whoever, you say, man, you gotta, you know, grow up, you know, or whatever. And no, there's not much urgency. But wait a minute. Here's some urgency. That's what it's, there's some urgency here. And we need to have, this has a sense of urgency. What obligations in life have I let fly by? We were just reading Mark Cahill's book this week. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And the statement was, if you aren't fishing, you aren't following. How many Christians are going to end their life and they never did any fishing? An obligation of life. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. How many excuses do we make? Can we make? Not fishing. How much fishing did you do this year? The next year will be just as fast, but faster. Obligations of life. Omissions. Opportunities. Opportunities. All these things are things we need to grab hold of while we can. Because as time goes on, opportunities are over, aren't they? Aren't you glad to be alive, Brother Rains? You got still more opportunities now. Amen. It gets down to pretty serious when you realize, wow. Right? What a blessing to have opportunities to serve God. What a blessing. But you know what? We got to grab a hold of them. And you know, to grab a hold of them means that there has to be decisiveness. That's what life is about, the urgency of decisiveness. decisiveness. That's what he's saying. Life's going to fly away. You aren't going to be able to stop it. You have nothing to be able to stop it, but you can do something now. And so what he's saying, now. Not later, now. That's what the new year is all about. Now. Stop to take a measure. Tomorrow we're going to be writing 2018. Do you know that? On your check. 2018, that's what you're going to write. The year's over. Now we got a flip of the time. It's going to, this 2018 is going to be over. So you know what he's saying? There's some decisions that we need to make. That's what life is about. Life is about a sense of urgency. And if we don't have that spirit of urgency, we're going to lose life. And if we are called to serve God, we're all called to serve God. Whatever that is, we better have a sense of urgency about accomplishing it with all our might now. Now. That's what he's saying. There's a shortness of life. So put renewed effort into serving God now. There needs to be a sense of brokenness, humility in our life that causes us to submit to the Lord. Otherwise, we're going to end up life on that record of people going their own way, doing their own thing under the anger of God. There's rebellion. You know what needs to happen? There needs to be surrender today. There's only one solution. Immediate surrender. You say it doesn't happen that way. It better. It better. You know why? Because life would go by so quickly, it'd get the best of you. I like what it says. Return, verse 13, O Lord, how long? Let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy. See the urgency there? Satisfy us early with thy mercy. We can't wait 10 years for your mercy. We need it right now. That we may rejoice and be glad all our days. You know, once that turn comes, the other side is just as real too. The blessing of God says, make us glad according to thy days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. Now, can you see it? Imagine. Here, this whole generation has passed. There's actually two generations. You know what I'm saying? It's about two generations, almost 38 years. You know, 20 and 20 makes two generations. And so their children didn't see the glory of God, and then their grandchildren didn't see the glory of God. And he says, you know, I was thinking about it. How long are your children your children? I mean, you know what I mean? I mean, we're just talking about David here, 10 years, maybe 24. Well, he isn't a kid anymore, right? How long our children, kids. You know what I'm saying? I'm not calling them billy goats, but how long are kids? And in those early years, they need to see the glory of God. You got this short period of time, little Johnny. He, you know, 10 more years, and he's almost a teenager. He needs to see the glory of God, right? Right? Not later, now! Now! That's what he's saying. There's this sense of urgency that these children need to see the work of God. The miracle works of God. The power of God. Souls coming to Christ, living for God. There's an urgency in life. And we get to deal with that urgency in a special way today. Because this is the last day of 2017. And there is a sense that today, we are thinking about a new year. And there is a sense today, because of God's organization of life and of the solar system, that we can measure our life today. And we can grab a hold of the life. The year's over. There's this sense of new opportunity. A new chance to make our life different. Now every week is that way. Should be. And every day should be that way. You know, every Sunday, it's kind of like that. And every day we get up, there's a sense that it can be a new day. New direction. We can grab a hold of life. But here we have this bigger sense. Maybe there's a victory in your spiritual life that you don't want life to get away from you. And you don't want to stand before God and say, you know, I was saved all these years and I never got victory over that. May it have been years that you've been struggling with it and you never got victory. But there can be victory this year. This could be the year. What a wonderful thing to be able to stand before God and not have to face God with that. It's over. I got victory in my life. I don't have to stand before God ashamed that I didn't live in that one area the way I should have lived. We probably all have lots of areas in our life like that. But wouldn't it be great if this year you could say, this year is going to be the year by God's grace of victory. This is the year it's going to be it. Year of victory. Wouldn't it be great at the end of the year to be able to have that sense of peace within your heart to say, you know, this last year I applied my heart to wisdom, and by God's grace He humbled me enough to really get me to a place that I let Him. By faith, I trusted Him for the victory. And I worked on it every day. And I got the victory. And now, in a sense, it's a thing of the past. But you won't have to stand before God with that burden on your soul. 2018 could be a great year, couldn't it? Could be a great year. Thank God for the opportunity to measure our days, to apply our hearts unto wisdom and say, hey, I got a new year here. 2018 could be a great year. A turning point. And you may have been living this life of nonchalance, which really is easy to do. I know it's easy to do when you're young. It's easy to do when you're middle-aged. It's easy to do when you're old. This nonchalance spiritually, the urgency needs to rise up and say, wait a minute. I'm not going to let my life fly by. In that sense, you say, you know, we're going to make it happen. What do you mean, make it happen? I'm going to turn to God. I'm going to cry out to God, just like Moses said, Lord, I'm done with being under the days of your anger. Let this be the day of your mercy. Amen? What a great thing. I trust that the Lord, through His Holy Spirit, will make this a day of victory over the lies of our hearts. The lie of being satisfied with doing nothing. With the lie that nothing can change, that we're just going to be set in our ways. Let's get rid of the lies. Come in a right perspective of life and be urgent like Moses was saying, Lord, now it's got to happen. Let's not spend our whole life wasted. God is able. God is able to bring in His mercy, to bring His blessing, and to turn us and to accomplish His work in our life. You know, I guess it's easy to make big decisions sometimes. And I realize that sometimes those big decisions don't last. Usually because we didn't apply our hearts unto wisdom well enough. But I think that if you look at what Moses is saying, he's talking about big decisions. Don't you think so? Yeah. Big turning point. Don't let your heart lie to you anymore. You know, your little heart out there could be saying, here he goes again. Big decision for God. Heard this before. Not going to do anything about it. Yeah, exactly. Your life will just keep on like that. But you know what? Life is about big decisions. That's what life is about. Read your Bible. You know what? Jesus came to the disciples. He says, hey, I got a question. I got a proposal for you. You can think about this for 90 days. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Got 90 days. Is that what happened to Lenin? No. It was that big, wasn't it? It was that big. It was that fast. He said to the people at Kadesh Barnea, okay, time to go in. They had one day to make the decision. That was it. One day. And so, we have a day that we can make big decisions for God. You know, I find it's like this. The sad thing about life is that a Christian, you know, usually grows like an oak tree. Lots of little decisions a little bit at a time. But when people go backsliding, they make big decisions fast and rapidly. And there's only one thing that stops it. Big decisions in the right direction. Amen. So what God is doing in your heart, how together as a people of God, there'd be an urgency in our life about making this new year what it ought to be. Let's pray. Lord, time is short. Time is short. Life is short. Opportunities are short. Stages of life are short-lived, pass by quickly. Lord, we need this sense of urgency. We need this sense of urgency as we see the despair that Moses saw when he saw many, many people waste away their life. And it was time for people to get urgent to do the will of God. So, Lord, we pray in your mercy and grace that you would speak to each one of us. They would take a moment to look at life, look at our lives, look at the opportunities. And instead of intending to do something like many times, maybe many of us have done over and over intended but never did it, that Lord, this would be a day of decision led by your Spirit but with a new sense of humility and reality, a sense of the fear of letting our life slip by, the sense of the fact that life is not nonchalant, but all of life has a sense of urgency spiritually. And Lord, if we've lost that sense of urgency, I pray that, Lord, that in your mercy, that even now, that you, through your Holy Spirit, would have invigorated the very spirit of the people of God. Well, our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. You're here and you sense God is trying to get a hold of your life. Isn't that amazing, God's mercy? If God is speaking to your heart, that is amazing mercy of God. It isn't something to resist. It is it's something that you ought to marvel in. That God is trying to get a hold of your heart today. It is His direct work in your soul. And you say, I sense that. And you sense, Maybe you sense you need prayer to respond to it before you lose it. Or perhaps even now, the Spirit of God has so worked in your heart that you're ready. You're ready to respond to God. You're ready to get urgent and serious about life, whatever it is, your spiritual life. Oh, realizing you can't do it, but it's a surrender in faith to Christ and to His work. And you say, Pastor, this is, I sense an opportunity for me to make important decisions for God. He knows what they are. I didn't make a list. But you know, if you have any kind of relationship with God, and the Spirit of, you've been reading your Bible, you know, and the Lord says, yes, today. And you say, by an uplifted hand, yes, I sense God's working. Maybe that is just a prayer for a sense of raise your hand for prayer. Maybe it's a sense, yes, okay, that's it. I'm getting serious about life and about what God wants in my life. And today is a turning point. Just lift your hand up and say, Pastor, pray with me. Rejoice with me. God has done, is seeking to do something in my life today that will make a difference for 2018. Okay. All right. Amen. All right. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? Okay. Amen. Next. Lord, now I pray that you would continue to work in our midst. Bless, Lord. I know that our decisions, in one sense, are feeble, but I pray that, Lord, they would be energized by your Spirit and clearness of mind and thinking, a sense of, Lord, of doing business with God and grabbing a hold of life and not letting it slip any longer. Whatever it is, might you be glorified, Lord, in a very special way. And Lord, might we keep that perspective of life, how short it is, how quickly it passed by, and that this year is an opportunity daily for that victory, for that that very thing that you have for us. So, Lord, I pray you'd work. In Jesus' name, amen.